Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
Today, we're going to continue talking about the diamond dilemma. Of course, we all know that diamonds are precious stones. It's a gemstone. It's a jewel. And it's very sought after. And, of course, we all know that diamonds are associated with romantic love. Thanks to De Beers and their advertising agency, they made us believe that you can't have a marriage proposal without a diamond.
Isn't that really interesting how they manipulated us?
Yeah, I think it's kind of emotional blackmail.
Yeah, they really got everybody buying into this idea. So even people who didn't have a lot of money felt, I must save up so I can get my fiancé a diamond ring, a diamond engagement ring. It's really clever. But they've done well. De Beers is a company that's still around and very, very wealthy, very popular.
And they will be around for a long time.
Probably. De Beers is forever, you could say.
More forever than diamonds themselves.
Maybe. Well, guys, let's go ahead and get started by reading through today's article and then talk more about how there's a darker side to the diamond trade. While many of the world's diamond mines are managed by honest companies and law-abiding countries, this isn't always the case. Some are located in countries torn apart by war or run by corrupt governments. In these countries, workers are essentially slaves, working long hours for little pay and suffering cruel punishments if they fail to find diamonds. Stones from these countries have become known as conflict diamonds or blood diamonds, and they still find their way onto the market. In 2000, representatives from diamond-producing countries, the UN and other organizations, met to try to end the curse of blood diamonds. As a result, they created the Kimberley process. This requires all diamond shipments to carry a certificate stating they were mined and produced by legitimate companies in conflict-free areas. What's more, countries or companies that are part of the Kimberley process can't trade with those who aren't. The idea was to force all diamond producers to either agree to it or have no one to trade with. While the Kimberley process has helped, it's not working as well as it should. According to Global Witness, a non-government organization that seeks to protect human rights, the process has yet to show it can stop the blood diamond trade. Zimbabwe, for example, though a member of the process, still reaps huge financial gains from selling blood diamonds. However, it has escaped discipline, as other members, motivated by political or economic gain, veto any punishment of Zimbabwe. Other corrupt measures can be used to get around the process. As yet, a real solution seems far away. If you ever buy a diamond, you should be sure it's coming from the right source.
Okay, let's talk about today's lesson, the diamond dilemma, the second day of our lesson, and we are talking about the dark side of the diamond trade. Let's begin here. In the first paragraph, it says, while many of the world's diamond mines are managed by honest companies and law-abiding countries, this isn't always the case. So it is true that a lot of diamond mines are run by honest companies. They don't want to treat their employees bad. They don't make them work overtime. They don't pay them really low salaries. They don't beat them if they don't work hard enough. And these companies operate or run in law-abiding countries.
Mm.
If you are law-abiding, you obey the laws. Of course, lots of people want to be law-abiding citizens, while others, well, maybe not so much. Maybe they want to figure out a way to cheat people out of money and not get caught.
Terrible things, but it's that way all around the world, unfortunately. People love money, and they'll do just about anything to get it. Now, some of these Diamond mines are located in countries that are torn apart by war. If a country is torn apart by war, it typically refers to a country fighting within itself. So people that are citizens of that country are actually trying to kill each other. The U.S. had the Civil War back in the 1800s where the South was fighting the North, which really is hard on a country when its own citizens are killing each other. But some of these diamond mines are also located in countries that are run by what we're calling corrupt governments. If you're corrupt, you are acting dishonestly. Usually you're doing it because you're trying to get money that maybe is dishonest, and you're trying illegal means to do it. A lot of governments accept help from good countries, and they take that money, and instead of helping their citizens, because their citizens are usually quite poor, those corrupt officials actually spend the money on themselves, so it never does get to the people who really need it.
Right. Corrupt governments are all over the world, and I would venture to say that pretty much every government is corrupt. It just depends on how corrupt it is.
True.
And corruption is the noun form there. Corrupt is the adjective. So, yes, you can imagine there's lots of corrupt governments in places that have diamond mines. You know, can you just kind of look the other way with that law? I'll give you a little bit of a campaign contribution for your next election there if you just kind of, you know, tell the lawyer to leave me alone and stuff like that. So, yes, that would be an example of corruption. And in these countries, workers are essentially slaves working long hours for little pay and suffering cruel punishments if they fail to find diamonds. So they aren't really technically slaves by definition. A slave is actually owned by someone. But these people are free, of course. They're not owned, but we're saying essentially slaves, which means they're basically slaves, even though you can't call them that, because they have their own homes and stuff. But still, if they quit their job, they're probably not going to be able to survive, so they have no choice but to do as they're told. They're basically owned by these companies. They work long hours, not just 8 hours or 10 hours, but maybe 12, 14 hours a day. And they do it for little pay. They have a low salary. And then they suffer these cruel punishments. Maybe they're beaten with large sticks or stuff like that. And they're beaten for various things, especially if they fail or if they are unable to find diamonds.
That's right. Stones from these countries, notice here we'll call precious gems, stones, precious stones, precious gems, jewels. These are all words we use to talk about these beautiful rocks that we, the stones, the minerals that we find that we like to wear as jewelry. They have become known as conflict diamonds or blood diamonds. I heard blood diamonds a lot earlier than this term conflict diamonds, but now they use both interchangeably. So you'll hear either conflict diamonds or blood diamonds. What it refers to are diamonds mined using these people that are treated very cruelly and who essentially work like slaves. A conflict is a serious disagreement or argument between people. Usually it's a longer argument, and they're conflict diamonds because the way that they are being mined is producing a lot of punishment and cruelty towards people, and people are angry about it. So there are two sides to this, and people are fighting over how these diamonds are mined.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, those blood diamonds or conflict diamonds find their way onto the market. So you might just be wearing such a diamond on your finger right now, ladies. Let's move on now to the next paragraph here. It says, in 2000, which was about 15 years ago, representatives from diamond-producing countries, also the UN, United Nations, and other organizations, they all met. They had a meeting. They met together to try to end the curse of blood diamonds. So, of course, we can't have the entire country come, or we can't have the entire membership of the UN come, so we need to send representatives, people who represent or stand for that particular company, that particular country, that particular organization.
That's right. So we've got representatives from the countries that actually have diamond mines. We've got the UN, the United Nations, representatives from many countries around the globe, and other organizations. They all got together and they tried to end the curse of blood diamonds. A curse can be defined in different ways. It could be the use of swear words that you'll hear people say when they're really angry. A curse can be something that somebody who believes in magic, you know, they think that witches or wizards can say magical words, and suddenly they put a curse on you, which turns you into a frog or another kind of animal.
A chicken.
Ugh. Or it could mean that someone is hurting you. They're causing you harm or punishment. So the curse of blood diamonds is that it is causing a lot of pain and suffering to these people who are harvesting or mining diamonds.
So they want to end this curse, or they want to end this terrible situation involving blood diamonds. And as a result, they created the Kimberley process. And this Kimberley process requires all diamond shipments to carry a certificate stating they were mined and produced by legitimate companies in conflict-free areas. If you're talking about a shipment, that is just a bunch of products put together and sent probably on some kind of a shipping vessel across the great seas of the world. So, of course, they mine the diamonds in South Africa, then they put them on a ship and they send it to Europe or Asia or wherever. That is a shipment. And here we have a certificate, which is basically the same thing as a document, which basically proves something is the case.
Yeah, so what does this document or certificate say? Well, it states these diamonds that are on this ship were mined and produced by legitimate companies in conflict-free areas where people aren't being killed or persecuted for mining the diamonds. If something's legitimate, it is conforming or obeying a law or a set of rules. So they need these certificates sometimes to even enter a country's borders based on this Kimberley process. We're going to talk more about what this means to these countries and to the diamond trade. But first, guys, we're going to listen to our Chinese teacher.
Hi everyone, my name is Jenny. 好，我们继续来看看钻石。提到 diamonds are forever， 好，钻石恒久远。那钻石呢，其实基本上如果是在遵守法纪的国家里，然后呢是信誉优良的公司管理的话，那本来是没有问题的，只是实际上不然。我们要看下面这句，他说哎，有些国家它是位在那种因为战争而支离破碎或是被腐败的政府统治的国家里，情况可就不是这么一回事。那这边要留意的就是，当你讲一个国家是位于哪里，好，用到了 be located 这样子的片语，要用被动来表示一个地点，一个建筑物。好，你说建筑物位在哪里，记得 be located 再加一个介系词 in, on, at 加地方。另外有一个选择，就是你不用 located， 你可以用 situated。 所以说一个建筑体be 动词 situated， 然后 in, on, at 某个地方，这也表示位于。好，再来下面呢，他说到这个国家的状况，他提到 torn apart by war， 还提到 run by corrupt government。 这两个 torn 和run 要注意，那是被动的过去分词，因为其实他在修饰这个国家的时候，他就是怎么样的国家呢？ countries that are torn apart， 还有后面 are run by。 好，这两个被动，因为我们已经变成了过去分词来修饰前面的国家。下面呢还有一个地方，他说到当然在这样的国家里面，他们产生的钻石，其实就是我们说它这种钻石呢有一个称号叫做 conflict diamonds 或者是 blood diamonds， 中文我们翻成冲突钻石或者是血钻石。好，当然这里有一个重点是，当你用 know 这个动词，然后被动里面他提到 known as as 这个介系词很重要，就是被称为加一个所谓的称号、角色等等。 好，接下来下面一段，我们继续来看钻石的故事。他在西元2000年的时候呢，当然为了要改变所谓的冲突钻石或血钻石这样的事实，就由联合国，然后钻石出产国，他们决定想要结束这种血钻石的诅咒。那结果呢，他们就创造出来有一个过程，一个制度，我们叫它 The Kimberley Process。 好， The Kimberley Process 这个词汇在这边很重要，你可以翻它叫金伯利进程。好，当然这就表示有一个认证制度。好，那下面呢就告诉你这个制度呢，它是要求你的钻石运输一定要有证明书。那这个证明书里面就说了，这个钻石是非战区中的合法公司所开采跟出产的。那要留意的是 certificate 后面的这个 stating， 因为 stating 它当然是 state 这个动词加 ing， 它的解释在动词的解释就表示陈述说明。那如果我们把它还原成一个子句，就是 a certificateThat states， 好，注意哦，这是一个现在分词。那这句后面还有个片语，大家注意一下 ，conflict free areas。这个重点呢是在于 free 啊，如果你摆在一些名词的后面，就表示说是没有那个东西。比如说像 oil free， 就是没有油的成分 ；problem free， 就是没有问题的。carefree 那就是无忧无虑的，所以这里 conflict free 也就是表示说在这个地方它是没有这样的问题，它是非战区中的国家。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Okay, so where we left off, we were talking about people getting together to try to end the blood diamond trade. Representatives from different countries that produce diamonds, the UN, other organizations, they wanted to end the curse of those blood diamonds, and they created what is called the Kimberley Process, which requires shipments to have some kind of certificate saying that they were produced by legitimate companies in conflict-free areas. Legitimate means official companies that are paying taxes and are treating their employees well. What's more, or in addition, also, countries or companies that are part of the Kimberley Process can't trade with those who aren't. That is another rule or requirement of the Kimberley Process. If you've signed on to this process, if you've made the agreement here, you cannot trade or do business with any other company or country that is not in the Kimberley Process as well.
So what this happens to do is force all diamond producers to either sign on to the Kimberley Process or not be able to trade with those who have signed the Kimberley Process agreement. So it makes it tough if you're a bad, illegitimate company. Illegitimate means not genuine, not conforming to the law. It makes it hard for these guys, who don't deserve to be treated better, to do business at all. If you don't have anyone to trade with, you don't have a business, because all businesses have to trade with other businesses or at least sell their products. Okay, so while the Kimberley Process has helped, that's the good news, right? It's not working as well as it should. Mm. It never does, because there are always going to be bad people out there trying to earn a quick buck, make a lot of money, by doing things that are illegal or just corrupt. So it's hard to enforce this. You can't make everybody do the right thing.
Yeah, it's probably pretty easy to cheat. You know, you can fake those certificates or whatever, or you can have a business deal with somebody else and not let anybody know about it. That is all considered corruption. But what can you do? But this sentence does tell us that it has helped a little bit, so at least that's something. And according to Global Witness, what the heck is Global Witness? Well, that's a non-government organization that seeks to protect human rights. According to them, the process has yet to show it can stop the blood diamond trade. So they've looked at this Kimberley Process and said, well, you know, its intentions are good, but it's not really stopping the process. There are still miners in various countries in the world who are suffering greatly because of these diamonds.
Yeah, You can sign all the agreements that you want, but if people don't want to follow them, they're really of no value. But at least it's keeping some people honest, okay? So we've got an example here of where the Kimberley process is not working, is not effective. That's in the country of Zimbabwe. Kind of an interesting name for a country, Zimbabwe.
I think it used to be called Rhodesia or something, and then there was some political change, and now it's called Zimbabwe. I guess it's down there by Zambia.
Yeah, it's in Africa, and of course they have some problems there. Now, here's their situation. They are a member of the Kimberley process, so at least they signed that agreement. But they're still reaping huge financial gains from selling blood diamonds. If you reap something, it means you've done or put some work into something, and this is your reward. We often will talk about reaping something from your efforts. If you're a student and you study hard all the time, you're probably going to be able to reap great benefits by getting good grades and later being able to test into a great university and studying what you want to. So to reap often refers to harvesting crops from the field as a farmer. You plant the seeds, you take care of those crops, and then one day all of these beautiful vegetables or fruits appear and you can harvest them. That's what you reap.
And reap is often used in the phrase, we reap what we sow.
Uh-huh.
It's actually used more often colloquially. We reap what we sow, S-O-W, sow, which means to plant crops in the ground. So if you plant a lot of crops, you get a lot of crops. And if you plant a little bit, then you don't get much. So yes, indeed, some of these companies reap huge financial gains from selling those blood diamonds. That makes a lot of sense if you pay your workers a really low salary and you make them work really hard. You got a lot of diamonds to sell, so of course you're going to make a huge profit at the expense of your workers.
We should probably explain why they have this term blood diamonds.
Yeah.
It's because those people who are working in the mines were often beat. Their arms were cut off. You know, there was a lot of blood going on. They were suffering a lot from the people who owned those mines. Some families were killed over mining these diamonds. So it's related to the cruelty and suffering of the people who are harvesting diamonds.
Mm-hmm, that's right. So if you buy a blood diamond, for example, that does not mean that blood is dripping on it. Oh, they'll definitely clean it off before they sell it. No one wants to buy a red diamond, or they might confuse it with a ruby.
Yeah.
So we don't want that happening. And however, it has escaped discipline.
That's Zimbabwe, right?
Zimbabwe, right. It's the country of Zimbabwe. They have escaped discipline, or the country, it, has escaped discipline. In other words, they don't have to be disciplined. Discipline here is just getting people to obey the rules and punishing them if they don't obey the rules. Discipline, of course, is very important in the military. If soldiers disobey their officers, they must be punished right away.
Yep. Well, they're motivated by political or economic gain. You can pronounce that word either way. Economic gain is what you get after doing something. If you're motivated by something, there is a reason that's getting you to choose to act in a certain way. It's related to the noun motive. A motive is a reason for doing something. And here's their reason. They want political gains or economic gains. They want money or power through politics. So some of these countries that continue to reap huge financial gains, they don't punish other countries that aren't. So when this issue comes up in the UN, they veto any punishment of Zimbabwe. Huh. They're all in cahoots, which means they're all in this together to try to get what they want. If you veto something, it usually means you turn down the opportunity to pass a certain law or a resolution. You say, nope, I don't support it. You veto it.
Right. So that can happen in government, of course, in the American government. If Congress passes a bill and the president doesn't like it, he can veto it. That's the verb here. You can also use it as a noun. And I guess they like Zimbabwe, or Zimbabwe kind of threatens them somehow.
I think Zimbabwe probably gives them some of their profits.
True. They kind of, you know, pass some money.
Yeah, they bribe the other countries to just turn their heads away and not notice.
There's a little kickback there.
Yeah.
So, of course, this process process continues, and other corrupt measures can be used to get around the process. So again, we're talking about corrupt processes, corrupt measures here, things that involve corruption. They can be used to get around the process. If you get around something, you just kind of take a shortcut or a long way around so you don't have to obey it, so nobody watches you.
Avoid is a good word there.
Mm-hmm, to get around it, to get out of it, you could also say.
Uh-huh.
I was supposed to pay a $100 fine, but because I knew the police officer's son, you know, I kind of got out of having to pay the fine. They just kind of falsified a document.
Uh-oh.
And I got around it. So that happens all the time, of course, especially if you have connections.
You know someone in power.
That's right. And as yet, a real solution seems far away. So this happens a lot of times. People think, well, we saw that old Leonardo DiCaprio movie about blood diamonds,
mm-hmm.
and we know about this. So it must be taken care of, right? It must be okay.
Yeah.
So it's okay if I buy any kind of diamond. Wrong. This problem is still going on. A real solution or answer to this problem seems far away.
Yeah, solution just means a way to solve a problem. So, you know, we don't hear about it as much because other problems have overtaken the public eye. You know, other news stories are being promoted now. But it's still a problem. So hopefully one day, if you do buy a diamond, you can be assured that it's not coming from a conflict area or it's a blood diamond. But I don't see it happening anytime soon.
That's right. So be careful of the diamonds you buy, ladies, or at least that you force your boyfriends to buy for you. Otherwise, you'll turn down his marriage proposal. Okay, that kind of brings us to the end of our lesson for today. We're going to hear once again from our Chinese teacher.
好，那我们继续来看。好，提到了 Kimberly process。这个所谓的金伯利进程，它当然是有帮助的，可是是不是这么有用呢？这一段呢，就告诉大家可能还不一定哦，因为目前就 Global Witness 所谓的全球见证，这个寻求保护人权的一个非政治组织，他们发现说到目前为止好像没有办法证明他真的能够停止写钻石的贸易。好咯，我们来看这里有一个句构，比较重要的就是 The process has yet to show。 好，先看这个部分 has， 如果你后面有个 yet， has yet to， 这个意思其实就表示尚未，还没有。所以以这个地方他说 has yet to show 就表示说 has not shown yet， 他还没有显示或证明。这个用法比较特别，在语气上跟中文翻译之间可能要思考一下。好，再来，再往下，我们要提到辛巴威这个国家。因为辛巴威其实呢，它就是这个所谓金伯利进程制度的一员。可是他还是一样靠这种贩卖血钻石来获得巨大的利益。不过下面这句就告诉大家了，他呢却很有办法。因为其他的国家啊，他们呢不敢去对他执行处罚。那我们先往这边前面的 us 看起。us 好，它在逗点之后，其实它是一个连接词，它的解释呢是代表因为。 as 的用法其实有很多种，有时候呢可能是时间哦，有时候可能是虽然，既然，可是在这里呢它是代表解释原因，因为。
That brings us to the end of our lesson for today. Thank you so much for joining us, and please make sure you join us again next time for another edition of our program. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.